just saw how much the Latino community here is so expressive of themselves.
As you've said, I think so many of us have these mental health struggles, and we do find in cooking certain coping mechanisms for it.
Makes total sense. Like, everybody eats ice cream when they're sad. I know I did. I'm sure everyone has.
Hi guys, it's Rose
and Cassie.
Welcome back to Kitchen Tape.
Today we are joined with Sue Ellen Mancini of Sad Girl Creamery.
Hey y'all, thanks for having me on here. I'm Sue Ellen Mancini. I own Sad Girl Creamery here in Los Angeles. We're a small batch creamery based out of Culver City, but we do pop-ups all over. And yeah, we're still trying to figure things out and hopefully grow some more.
And are you the titular sad girl?
Yes.
Cool. Well, we'll just dive right in, and we'd love to know what your first job in food was.
My first actual job, like in a kitchen, was when I was 18. It was around the time when cupcakes were like having a moment. So there's this little cupcake trailer in Houston that I thought was really adorable. And I was really tired of like working in fast food places. So I got a job at the cupcake place, but I was just working as a front counter person. And in high school, I really loved baking at home. It was something I did, I guess at the time I didn't realize, to cope with like being depressed. And so I remembered how much I loved it and I wanted to go back to doing that. And I remember begging the people who worked there, the bakers, to teach me how to bake. And eventually they took me on and that was my first baking job. But that place was insane because from the outside, it seemed really sweet. It was this lesbian couple and I want to say it was my first experience actually being around someone so mentally ill. The owner had bipolar disorder type 1. It was chaotic. She definitely wasn't taking care of herself. And so there would be days that she would be like acting super manic and she'd come in and tell us, we need to arrange everything and start like tearing the place apart and trying to like redecorate while everyone's trying to work. And it was madness.
Wow.
Some days just take all the money out of the register and go on shopping sprees and we wouldn't see her for like weeks. It was, yeah. I mean, wow. Looking back, it is very sad thinking like how badly she was struggling. But so that was one thing to add to it. On top of, she was a recovering alcoholic. So almost everyone who worked there was somebody she met in AA, which is fine. But there was also some people who were in AA who had been to prison and like fresh out of prison. So I had this one coworker, this guy who I'm pretty sure he was like a neo-Nazi, I think, in prison, because he definitely looked like a skinhead. And one day I remember he was sitting with the owner at the table in the little cafe talking to each other. And she was like, oh, so yeah, like you have that Iron Cross tattoo on your arm. And he just sighs very sadly. And he's like, yeah, but I don't hate people that way anymore. And I don't know. That place was like, for being an 18-year-old.
For being a cupcake shop.
Yeah, a cupcake shop. Pretty intense. I don't know. I had never been around those, I guess, that kind of environment before. So it was really interesting.
Did you find that exacerbated your mental health struggles? Or did you feel like it put them in perspective?
So at the time, I was still very, like, I mean, I was aware of what I was struggling with in the sense of I was living it all the time, but I hadn't come to terms that there was anything, like, I didn't know that there was something deeper going on with me.
Mm-hmm. So just some summertime sadness.
Yeah, well, no, it was, I definitely was having more than summertime sadness. But I don't know. It's hard to explain. Back then I was just totally unaware that it could have been something else. I don't know if it has to do with also just being a woman, that at the time, I thought that I was just like the hysterical, crazy girlfriend, you know? And so I didn't see myself the same as them. But anyway, looking back on it, I'm like, oh, wow, I was exposed to that so early and didn't really connect with her in that way when I probably could have and done more to try to understand her. But, you know, this is back in a time where also the whole like mental health thing wasn't a trend yet. Anyway, so crazy things were going down there all the time. And that was my first baking job.
How long did you work there?
A little over a year. And then I got a job at another bakery shortly after that.
And you mentioned Texas a few times. Are you originally from Texas?
Yeah, I'm from Houston.
Okay. And then, like, when did you make your way out to LA?
I moved here in September of 2018.
What brought you out here?
Starting Sad Girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
And so in, like, leaving Texas, which you've known your whole life, and coming into LA, like, how have you found yourself creating community here?
Well, one of the big reasons I moved to LA was when I came to visit, I just saw how much the Latino community here is so expressive of themselves and like outward. Like you can see the Latin community here and it's on like the murals and in the neighborhoods and everyone's just very proud of it. And it's not like that in Houston, which you would think it would be because there are a lot of Latin people in Texas. So Latin people in Houston tend to assimilate a lot more. The culture is not as celebrated there at all. I mean, there definitely is, you know, little kitschy things every now and then. Like we also have like a tamale festival, or there's like one stretch of a neighborhood navigation where there's all of like the Tex-Mex stuff. But there definitely was not a scene where that I knew of where all the Latin kids were like, oh, this is a part of my culture and you can see it in my art or you can see it in my food.
There's
you can
like
see
a
it.
Real pride.
Yeah. No, not at all. If anything, I felt like sometimes, like I found myself like trying to act like a white person to be in these circles and be friends with these people. And even hearing other fellow Latin people make fun of each other in a weird way. Where we wouldn't even like, I remember one time my ex was making fun of one of my friend's bands because it's him and his brother and a bunch of other Latin kids and just being like, oh, yeah, they're good. But, you know, they're just like another band with a bunch of Latino kids in it. I'm like, what does that even mean? And he's Mexican. Right. So I was like, What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
Do you hate yourself?
I think that that's a part of it being in the South. There is a strong assimilation that is undercurrent is like buying into that something is wrong with you inherently and you should sort of.
Yeah.
Like it's a positive to hate yourself, which is really, really sad to see.
I feel like he was also especially very disconnected from his own Mexicanness because he was like several generations Chicano. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but yeah. Anyway, so coming here, it was definitely an eye-opener of, oh, wow, I've never even thought about exploring this side of myself, even though obviously I've lived it my whole life. You know, I come from an immigrant family. No one in my family besides me and my siblings and some of my cousins speak English. Like, we grew up going home and eating things from our own culture all the time and, like, living in our own little separate world. Going to, you know, different supermarkets from other people. So yeah, coming here, I was just very inspired by that and realized that I didn't want to just start like a regular ice cream company. I wanted it to be a bigger part of myself and use that as an outlet to explore that more and be more involved in the Latin community where I wasn't before. When I came here, I tried to solidify that concept in Sad Girl. And I guess it spoke to a lot of people because a lot of people related to the flavors that I was making. And
you use a lot of Latin flavors, right?
Yeah, all of my ice cream flavors are reimagined versions of Latin desserts from all over the diaspora. So not specific to me all the time. Sometimes they can be like a Cuban dessert or a Venezuelan thing or, you know.
How did you choose, like, ice cream as, like, your food medium?
I just became obsessed with it when I was, like, as a baker, I finally got a job where I had to make ice cream and became obsessed with the science of making it. And I feel like it's such an easy blank slate to make it. You can make ice cream taste like anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know? I was reminded of how much ice cream I ate when I was younger, when I'd be, like, depressed on the couch watching Flavor of Love. Like,
I mean, I think ice cream is the flavor. Like, I want to die eating ice cream. If that's how I can go out, that would be a dream come true.
Yeah, and just killing whole pints all the time. And so definitely, yeah, it brought back a lot of that, like, coping mechanism in a weird way. And yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's hard to explain how you get obsessed with the technique of making it, yeah, you know?
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah, because some people be like, why did you become obsessed with pizza? It's like, because I love eating pizza, yeah. You know?
Well, I think also, like, food, people often forget that there's so many blank canvases.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, ice cream, as you said, you can give it any flavor. And so, like, even though it's one thing, it's infinite things. And, like,
yeah.
That's so fun to play with. I'm wondering what your favorite child is of the flavors you make. Your favorite flavor child.
My favorite flavor child right now. I don't know. It's hard to say. It changes. Right now, I really love the choco flan flavor that I make.
Mm, I love a flan.
And yeah. Describe that to us. Yeah. Like, how are you, like, making choco flan into ice cream?
Like, almost naughty. Like, describe it.
If you want to get, like, really close. And,
yeah.
You know.
Little ASMR whisper. We're here for it.
Can you dim the lights?
Yeah. You can veer into smut. We don't mind.
Oh my god. So it's a custard ice cream with pieces of devil's food cake that we make from scratch and a very dark caramel swirled into it. And I guess that's it. But the custard we make is based with condensed milk and evaporated milk.
Yum. So it, ooh, yes.
So it does taste very much just like flan. Yeah.
Very flan-y.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, I'm just wondering, since you talked about so many instances where you were part of a community and coming here from a community, where have you found sort of your strongest support or someone who's really kind of stepped in and helped you?
Oh, like my biggest supporter?
Yeah.
Other than my fiance?
It can be him.
Oh, okay.
Partner support.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Personal or professional.
I tend to call, or I used to call my ice cream fans my creamsters.
See, now we're
that's
back
a very
to the
specific
naughty
search that I have for myself. I wouldn't mind being called a creamster, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But I recently changed it to Saddies, but I had this long running joke with him where I would be like, you're my number one creamster.
What an honor.
I want that on a shirt.
But yeah, he is honestly my biggest supporter. He is happy that we moved to LA, but it wasn't his idea. We actually started dating long distance. And then during that long distance dating was when I realized I wanted to leave Houston. Because I was like, I don't know. I had that moment where I thought I was bigger than that place and just wanted to do better. And the scene out there is so, it's just very male dominated. Mm. Yeah. Even more so than you would think here.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really hard to be a small, it's even hard to be a small business out there because a lot of the food culture is just people being obsessed with certain restaurant groups. Mm. And then what restaurants those restaurant groups come up with. So
yeah,
I'll be like, oh, their new Mediterranean concept, that kind of thing. And anyway, I came to the realization where I was like, I'm either going to move to New York or LA because they're the biggest food cities that I know of. I visited New York and it terrified me.
What specifically terrified you?
It was just too busy. Mm. I felt like it felt very cold to me and weirdly isolating. Mm. I just thought I would have moved there if I was like 23, but at the age that I was moving away, I was like, I don't want to work three jobs to survive anymore like that. And so, yeah, then when I visited LA, I absolutely loved it. Plus, I'm like a hardcore beach girl. So, yeah, when we were dating, I said, hey, just so you know, I'm going to try and move to LA. I really want to go out there and try to pursue my ice cream thing. I'm not going to stay here in Houston anymore. Yeah, I'm going to save up money for a year. And he was pretty much like, I'll just go wherever you want to go.
Love it. We love it. Where was he based at this time?
He was living in Northern California in Redding.
Oh, okay.
How did you two meet?
Well, I mean, we knew of each other. It wasn't, he was also from Houston. He moved out to Northern California to do like the whole marijuana thing out there. Mm. We ran kind of in the same friend circles in Houston because it is like very incestuous and small in that way. So I knew of him. I knew some of his girlfriends, and it wasn't like he was a complete stranger. We were already internet friends.
So he passed the serial killer test.
Yeah. And so one night when I was really high in my bed watching music videos, he slipped into my DMs.
Nice.
To ask me about a song I had posted about. And I love talking. And so when he was like, we were talking back and forth about music. And then I just sent him my number and I was like, why don't you just call me? And anyway, so he called me. We talked all night. But yeah, he was down to move wherever I wanted to go. He moved back to Houston so we could save up money for a whole year together. And then we moved out to LA.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he's definitely my number one supporter because I feel like everything he does is just to support my dream in a weird way.
Aww. So do you find him, is he often in your kitchen as an unpaid cook? Or
no, that's my maker? Mom.
You gotta keep it in the family.
Yeah. No, he's busy working a lot to help support me with an actual paying job.
Nice.
And then I moved my mom out here in 2021. My sister lives in Salinas and my brother lives in Columbia. During the lockdown, I just realized, like, there's no point in you being in Houston by yourself. You have no family there. Like, you shouldn't be alone. You're an older woman. So I moved her out here, and it is incredibly hard to find a job for a woman in their 60s who doesn't have, like, I guess a degree or anything. We're definitely from a working class family or lower class, you know. So I couldn't find her a job for the life of me. And that's how she ended up just working for me.
I think that's like the way you got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think in most cultures, it's actually pretty normal for those things to stay in the family. But we have a real problem in this culture of basically being like, once you're over 60, like you're almost done. Invisible.
Yeah. Especially if you're like an old woman.
Yeah, I think it's extra hard for women, but I think even at that age, regardless if you had several degrees, you become useless and invisible.
And it's very difficult. And then also being someone who doesn't speak English very well and just, you know, like I could get her a job, but the level of jobs that were available to her, in my heart, wasn't okay with seeing her doing that anymore. Yeah. Well, she lives with us now, so now she's under my roof as well.
Do you ever go like while you live rules. Under my roof, my roof, it's my rules, Mom.
No, it's nice. It's definitely one of those things where it happened earlier than I thought it would in my life. Like, I always knew I was going to end up taking care of her. I feel like a lot of kids whose parents are immigrants feel that way because usually your family doesn't really have a safety net.
Yeah.
Being the youngest child, I didn't realize, like, oh, this is going to fall on me before the rest of y'all.
Oh, I feel like in my family, as also Latin, that was, like, specifically stated. Like,
oh, yeah.
The youngest daughter is the one who's going to take care of the parents. I think also of like Water for Chocolate, where that's literally the thrust of the movie. Like, she can't get married because she's supposed to be the one to take care of the, I don't know, that was like a tenet of culture I grew up with.
Oh.
I always felt bad for my little sister. And also my mother, because my sister was shit at taking care of people.
Oh no.
She's got other talents.
I didn't necessarily come from a family who, well, my mom separated herself from the rest of her family for years now because they are like very unstable people. Anyway, but she definitely didn't like make me feel like that would be my situation. Mm. So, I mean, I can see it in her too, that she's like struggling also with the idea of me having to take care of her as well. Mm-hmm. It's nice having her help me and having someone who can take the worst of you.
Right. And we'll still come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
So would you say your mom's your number one saddie then?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, gotta keep the number ones in the family.
Yeah.
I love that.
Where did the name Sad Girl Creamery, like, did you have other names or was this like the first name?
I had other names before, like one of the original names was Spilt Milk, but that was before I had like an actual concept for it. Honestly, the name came from a friend. It wasn't even my idea. It was an idea that I related to, obviously. I was sitting with my friend Laura in Echo Park. Well, she's Mexican American and we both, you know, grew up watching all of those like hood movies that are based in LA, like Mi Vida Loca and Blood In, Blood Out and all of those. And so, you know, the main character of Mi Vida Loca is named Sad Girl and she lives in Echo Park in the movie in the 90s. And there's like a very, very young Danny Trejo in it whose name in the movie is Casual Dreamer.
And so it could have gone either way. Sad yeah. Casual Dreamer, Creamery.
That would have been funny too. Anyway, and she was like, you know, you should name it Sad Girl. Well, we were drunk at Echo Park sitting, having a picnic. I don't know. I just loved it immediately and was like, oh, I think I can make like roll with this. It's such like a weird name, but it makes total sense. Like everybody eats ice cream when they're sad. Mm. I know I did. I'm sure everyone has.
Yeah.
So the name came first and then the mental health concept came later because of the name.
Yeah.
So does Laura get a cut of ice cream as payback for her genius contribution to the name?
Not yet. I'm sure I'll have to cut her
when we get there.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll have to cut her a check later, probably. I don't know.
I mean, again, like just ice cream payments, I think it's probably fine. That's what I would accept.
That's my tagline. We'll work for ice cream.
She doesn't take like total credit for the name, but she definitely takes a lot of credit for being the person who pushed me to put my ice cream out there, which is true. For even though I had moved here with the intentions of doing Sad Girl, I was also really shy about eventually launching it because I was like, I don't know if it's going to be any good or if anyone's going to give a shit, like if I should even be posting about this.
Is challenging.
Especially in a new city when you've just
I was like, I don't even know anybody.
Yeah. That's just going to make me sadder.
Yeah. Anyway, she really encouraged me and was like, just start a fucking Instagram page and just start posting things about you making ice cream. And she told me, I mean, she made it very good observation of like, we already are on our phones all the fucking time watching strangers just live their lives and do random shit and observe other people all day long. And why wouldn't you be another one of those people? It's like, yeah, you're right.
So when did you start feeling comfortable to kind of put mental health at the sort of
forefront?
Yeah, almost, forefront of the business.
So when I actually launched the page, it was, also during the lockdown, everyone was at home losing their mind. I know I was having a tough time for sure. I don't know. When I was thinking about the name, it just clicked one day of, oh, I should use this as a platform to share my own stories and somehow relate it back to the ice cream or do different posts about different things people struggle with in mental health. And so honestly, like I started posting about it almost right away with like the ice cream or paletas. I was also doing little pictures of and stuff.
I feel like just when I started following you, you were one of the first people who was being really transparent about it. And I thought that was like really cool and a great sort of additional thing to be open about in your business, because as you've said, I think so many of us have these mental health struggles and we do find in cooking certain mm-hmm. coping mechanisms mm-hmm. for it, but then there's still this ideal from like the 80s and 90s of being this like perfect veneer and always happy and so mm-hmm. excited about it. And I think that you were very much someone who like helped make it more real.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that and like how you were saying earlier, your friend noticed people are just putting their lives out there to be perceived, like taken in by like others. And we're always trying to put this super polished, here's my cake, here's my ice cream. Isn't this all happy and beautiful? Mm-hmm. But we never take a second to be like, yeah, this is like a really great job that I have, but it does also take a toll on my mental health from mm-hmm. time to time. And I think that's important to show like the people who are consuming it and who potentially could want to follow in your footsteps and be like, I want to start my own ice cream thing, because she makes it seem so effortless and easy and breezy. Yeah. And all I do is eat choco flan all day and it's great. And it's like, yeah, I get to eat choco flan every day, but then at night,
but also the horrors
persist, you know? Yeah. So I'm just wondering, like, through all of this, what does your self-care look like?
Oof. I don't know, honestly. I still kind of struggle with finding a solid kind of self-care, because I mean, self-care looks like anything. It's not just like bath bombs.
Bath bombs and scented candles.
Yeah, it's not what.
Although we do like those.
That is another thing I feel like mental health on the internet has become. I mean, not to shit on anybody who's like making their own bath bombs and stuff like that. That's cool. But as far as like other big companies see that it's becoming a trend and they're definitely trying to push all these like self-care quote unquote things on you so they can sell you more shit.
Yeah, it's just more consumer.
And it's just normal stuff that then has like self-care in front of it. Like, here's our self-care sleeping mask. And
yeah.
You're like, well, how is that different from like a normal sleeping mask?
Yeah. It's not. So I don't know. I guess my self-care is probably not healthy.
I think that's actually a good distinction to make, yeah. Because it's less about doing something that's necessarily super healthy, but something that is going to give you joy mm-hmm. without any judgment or shame, right?
Yeah, for sure. So,
because even healthy things are often like coded in shame.
Yeah, true. Honestly, when I get really down, I just get really blazed and like binge watch my favorite shows. Either they like add to the sadness in a weird way, where kind of like when you listen to sad songs when you're sad,
it becomes cathartic.
Yeah. or makes me feel better. So I definitely binge a lot of BoJack Horseman when I'm really depressed, which is like the most depressing show. But it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, there's parts of that show that I relate to.
Yeah.
Or as far as like a happier show I'll watch would be like, I love Tuca and Birdie a lot.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, I don't think I know.
Oh, it's Tiffany Haddish and Ali Wong.
Oh.
It's an animated show as well, where they're two birds.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't watched this, but I've seen it.
Oh, it's so cute. It's really funny. But it's definitely a little bit more upbeat with some very adult themes in them sometimes too. So yeah, I don't know that I, but then there'll be the healthier things now that I push myself to do because I've learned it through my therapist, is like, I'll try to make plans with my friends to get out of the house, try to encourage myself to go on hikes more if I'm feeling down, so like, you know, being out in nature, things like that that you're supposed to do to veer yourself out of those emotions.
Right. But just therapy is a huge self-care.
Yeah, for
sure.
And
I feel like more people should go to therapy before they necessarily have a quote-unquote reason to.
Yeah.
Like, therapy I think is one of the best preventative medicines you can do, just to like figure out how to communicate better, because mm-hmm. I find that so much of my own mental health struggles are about feeling isolated and feeling misunderstood or wanting to connect better with people, and mm-hmm. those aren't necessarily skills that we get taught in any kind of formal way, so more people should go to therapy.
Period.
Yeah.
Period. Full stop.
Period.
Yeah, no, for sure. Everyone.
Especially men.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely. Although sometimes I feel like my therapist encourages me too much.
Tell us more.
She's the professional.
Go on.
Where I'll be like, this is what fucking pissed me off the other day, and I'll go on a tangent and she'll be like, yeah. Yeah.
She's the number one priester.
Yeah. No, but I think that's good, right? Because so often we feel a way and then we like shove it down as being inappropriate. Yeah. And so much of our struggles are about like hiding stuff instead of just like letting it out.
Oh no, I definitely have learned. At first I definitely was very shy when I started therapy with her, but yeah, it is very cathartic to just like tell a complete stranger all your stuff. Sometimes I'm like, are you my friend? Or...
She's your friend, you pay.
Yeah. There's definitely, there gets to be a point where it's confusing that I'm like, I feel like we could be friends in real life, but maybe you're just like making me feel that way. I don't know.
She's like, don't call me off hours. I feel like I make my therapist proud when I get angry about anything. Because I'm always so
happy.
Well, like, it's less that I'm so happy, but I'm fast to forgive and just internalize it. And so, like, every time we get into session, she's like, who are we going to get mad at today? And I was like, do we have to? And she's like, we got to get mad at least at one person.
And you're like, okay, we're mad at myself this week. And she's like, wrong idea.
So I take pride that she looks forward to talking to me because everyone else she has to calm down and she seems
she
to
gets
get
to rile
she
you
gets
up.
To rile me up and I think she's finding it very fun. But maybe if we hang out a little more, I'll get a little more even keel.
For sure, I am like definitely rage.
Well, you brought up a lot of movies and music, and you seem very invested in media, and I'd really love to know, like, what are some of your favorite films or shows that have food in them, or that, like, really kind of stick with you?
I mean, favorite food scenes in movies, for sure, that have made me hungry would be, like, the scene in Hook.
Yes! That's an all-time.
Yeah. The cheese pizza from a Goofy movie, for sure. Lives in my head.
That is how all pizza should be.
Yeah, right?
Insane
massive
pull.
Cheese pull.
Oh my
gosh,
and the Leaning Tower of Cheesa.
A lot of shows or movies that are based around Italian families will always have really good food in them. Like anything by like Martin Scorsese. He films really great like food table scenes. Like even the scenes in Goodfellas when they go to his mom's house and they're all just like eating, or a lot of food scenes in The Sopranos. Like, I don't know what it is about Italian show. I mean, I guess Italians just eat a lot.
Yeah, they need to eat. Even on they camera. They're just like, this plot can't move forward without dinner.
It has to look good.
I really enjoy the scene in The Wedding Planner. Or is it Made in Manhattan? It's The Wedding Planner. The one with Jennifer Lopez and Matthew McConaughey.
The Wedding Planner.
Both with Jennifer Lopez.
Exactly. That's why
but the one with Matthew McConaughey is The Wedding Planner.
Yeah, correct.
I don't know that I've seen this one, so I don't know the scene.
But there's a scene where Matthew McConaughey's eating M&Ms, and he's like, I only eat the brown ones. it's not a food. Oh, it's apparently not a food scene. They're talking about M&Ms.
Oh,
which are
my
food.
God.
Are they talking about M&Ms, though? Or are they talking about Jennifer Lopez?
No, they're talking about M&Ms, but
if he only eats the brown ones and she's the romantic interest,
I saw that movie when I was 8 years old, you know, I wasn't thinking that deep, but I did pick up on, I like was like, I'm only gonna eat the brown M&Ms, so for like 2 months I would give my sister all the colored ones and only eat the brown ones. But another food scene that I love is in The Help, where Minnie makes chocolate pie, and she's like, eat my shit. And she's like, what did you say? And she's like, eat my shit. Well, I also love in the original Willy Wonka, the like Augustus Gloop.
Yes!
Save
some for the rest of us, Augustus!
Why did I even think about that? That's like a classic food movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I constantly think about the scene where they're licking the wallpaper. Yeah. Schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
So, yeah, those are...
There's so many good ones.
There's, yeah, I could go on forever and just talk about food.
Now that we're, like, deep in it, it's like, oh,
the
yeah.
scenes in Spirited Away where, like, her parents become pigs. That's, like, yeah. very vivid in my childhood memory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, frightening, but also so beautiful, the way the food is just, like, being... Mm-hmm. Wolfed down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Tom Popo, where it's all like a little like dark side of sex. Mm-hmm. I just always think of that like scene where they're like, they transfer an egg from the guy's mouth to the girl's mouth. Instead of kissing, he just like drops a raw egg in her mouth.
I just pre-stirred.
I think we all did.
But I don't watch a lot of like specifically food-based television. I definitely am not like huge into the hardcore competition shows. They give me too much anxiety, and sometimes I feel like, I don't know, I guess being here and kind of seeing how that stuff works behind the scenes, I just feel like it's unfair the way they might be portraying some of the people on these shows.
Oh, it's absolutely unfair.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, all of this is editing. And I know not that person probably isn't an asshole in real life, you know?
Yeah, they've just had a producer yelling at them for 8 hours and they've snapped.
Yeah. And now we got the good footage. Because then everyone who's watching it is like, fuck that guy, you know? Mm.
I think competition shows are definitely two games you're playing. You're playing to win the game, and you're playing to not get broken down.
Yeah.
Through the process.
Wait, have y'all been approached too?
I've been on a couple competition shows before, and Cassie and I were briefly in talks to be cast on a show
coming up.
But she had to drop out for something. But I am toxically positive on competition shows, so they never get anything out of me. Every time they come to me, I'm like, I can't wait to eat what they're making over there. It smells so good. And they just roll their eyes.
Everyone's a winner here. Yeah.
I want to see everyone's A game.
You'd be perfect on the Great British Bake Off.
I know. Yeah. I was British.
Yeah, everyone's like, nice.
Sure, it's a competition, but everyone's like, oh.
But you know
play.
Why?
When they go over there and they help.
They're like, oh, I'm done with mine.
She's
Let me
running
just...
out of time. She just needs a little help.
But I learned that they don't actually win anything on that show.
Oh, no, it's just
they
glory.
Win that, like, yeah, don't they win, like, ovens like, or something?
The
or, like, plate.
So you do wonder if they would become a little more, quote-unquote, American if there was money
on
the line.
I think so, for sure. Yeah. Anytime there's money involved.
Be like, screw Sue, I'm getting this with my crumpets.
Yeah.
I still want to know what your hidden talents are, because you have been doing food for so long, but there's no way that's all there is to you, so dish.
My fiance brought up a good point. He said, my hidden talent is flirting online with boys for my friends.
Do tell. And also, here's my phone if you
need to. I mean, I think you're going to get a lot of people inquiring about you being a professional girlfriend for them after this.
I don't know. I know a lot of women struggle with talking to dudes online because dudes fucking suck at communicating. And they would always tell me, like, I don't even know what to say to this guy I matched with on whatever app, blah, blah, blah. Or, like, this person I'm talking to at the time, how do I respond to this? And so they just got used to handing me their phone and me just like flirting nonstop with this person. And I've gotten a lot of them laid.
Yeah, here's my phone.
I gotta ask though, do you feel like your talent is in sort of like talking to these men and roping them in? Or do you feel like you're really good at sort of being your friend, like embodying them so that it's like... Because
seamless.
I wonder,
I mean, I know
yeah, I wonder
about
when,
them.
When you transfer it off, if it's like a cliff drop off, and they're like, "What happened to that girl?"
No, I do. I know my friends well enough to like kind
channel
of,
them.
Yeah, in a certain way, but you know, keep it interesting for that person to keep responding to me. And I don't know. I'm just really good at chatting with people, and I get a lot out of them. But I don't know. The way I flirt is crazy. Because I remember one time I flirted with this guy simply through just using only GIFs.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's
Gen
the millennial
Z,
way.
Right? Is it the millennial way?
Hate to break it to
Wait,
you.
Wait, then what does Gen Z do?
I don't know. I'm a millennial.
Are you?
Well, because I lie about my age sometimes. So I have to check. It's 1997, right, where the millennial ends?
Gen Z is 97 to 2012.
Oh, okay.
I'm 94. But my sister's 97.
She's technically Gen Z.
Yeah.
Oh, well then, yeah. So I grew up with a Gen Z.
Stealing your sister's identity.
She's still mine. Okay. Okay.
Have you built up any relationships where you're still maintaining for your friend?
Oh, no.
Or is it just, you're mostly like chapters 1 and 2.
Unfortunately, and then... it seems like dating is very hard. Once the dating actually starts, it She's seems like...
out. I mean, I am still hearing a total professional career that could be from this. Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like maybe I could put up a Craigslist post. I'd be like...
Under misconnections.
Yeah. Or have my friends like write me referral letters, you know.
It's like a newsletter column where it's like you write in and it's like, Dear Sue Ellen. And then you're like, oh, this is what I would say. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Like
a newsletter
like a million years ago.
Yeah, like the Dear Abbeys and Yeah, I would, I mean, you should just include that in your Instagram post. Like... Another thing that I am addressing as part of the mental health world, getting you laid.
Maybe the pandemic changes a lot of people, but I feel like so many people are very closed off, and it's hard to get them to, like, actually talk on the fucking internet.
Yeah.
No, it's weird.
I think so many people lost a lot of social skills because they weren't using them. Or maybe they were relying too much on their own Sue Ellen. You're just now chatting with another Sue Ellen.
Oh my gosh, it's two of her friends. They're like, you talk to this person. And her friend is like, you talk to this person. And she's talking to herself.
And there's like 50 people behind desperately hoping someone will like them through this phone. I mean, all jokes aside, making genuine connections are really hard, whether it's romantic or
friendships.
And I think it becomes harder as we get older because we rely on proximity to be the main driver of friendships.
Yeah.
And I think even when we are young, we often are kind of lazy and not very intentional about those friendships because you're like, well, I'll see you tomorrow because I go to school with you or I work with you. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's, like, not a muscle that we exercise very well.
I've always been, like, a hardcore creating my own family type of person. Mm. And very much, like, a community type of person. Where, in Houston, I was managing this little hipster coffee shop. And, yeah, once I took over being manager, I very much started trying to host... you know, like, vintage markets and having, like, drag bingo and stuff. All kinds of events to try to bring people together. And definitely somebody who, I mean, not to brag, but I feel like a lot of the times...
We're here to brag. We want to brag.
I will be, like, the center of my friend group where I create this whole, like, little... this friend group of, like, we all go on... trips together, or we all like do all these activities together and have parties together, and definitely make it a point to have those kind of connections, even if they won't necessarily be people I've met through jobs or things like that either. I don't know. I'm a big communicator. I can literally talk to anyone and find something to talk to someone about and read people very quickly.
So I think we've just discovered more hidden talents. Well, Sue Ellen, it's been really wonderful to have you, and maybe you'll just take over this for us since you're so great at talking.
Because I need a break. 5 episodes in and I'm over it. But so at the end of our podcast, we end it with rapid fire questions that Casey is going to pull up for us.
Oh, dang.
On my phone. And we're going to ask you these questions in rapid succession, and you just answer with the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, no context.
No context.
It's like one word, you don't get to explain yourself, and then
so like in Family Feud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Favorite thing to eat right now?
Ice cream.
Favorite kitchen utensil?
Spatula.
What ingredient is overrated?
Chocolate.
Oh, I really thought we were going to go back to Mortadella.
What are you currently reading?
Memes.
What song is on repeat on your playlist right now?
Oh, man. Sorry. Next question.
Okay. Replace question. What song did your fiance slide into your DMs for?
Oh, is this song by the Lower Dens? Oh my God, I don't even remember the name of that song, but I do remember the band.
Check out the Lower Dens. Okay.
How do you feel about hopscotch?
What is hopscotch?
What is hopscotch?
Oh my God.
Wait, the thing with like when it's the around squares. Your ankle? Oh no. Wait, no. I'm thinking about that skip it thing.
Yes, skip it. Man,
I'm going to be sending you hopscotch memes
here on
out.
We're
going
to go play in the yard right now.
Oh, but okay. The squares. Yeah. Yeah, I did grow up doing those. Yes, I remember now.
That's how she remembers. She That's remembers. It. Okay. Hot take. Chef coat, apron, and why don't you wear them?
I don't know, because I just like have a big giant dirty t-shirt.
The everyman's apron.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
Okay, and an additional one. What are your thoughts on mortadella?
It's just bologna.
Why is it having a moment?
It's just bologna. I don't know.
No context.
I think people
just bologna.
Maybe the name, and because it has like white speckles. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like fancy bologna.
It's terrazzo, and you know how millennials love terrazzo.
I think just. I don't know. I'm like, do Americans not know enough about mortadella that they're impressed by it? It's really bizarre.
All right, that's it.
Thanks again for joining us here on Kitchen Tape. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Rose.
And don't forget,
eat cute, be cute.
Aw, thank you for having me. This was fun.
Now, where's my Choco Taco?
Oh, it's in the freezer. Okay, cool.
Thank you for joining us this week on Kitchen Tape. Our theme music is created by Dan Production. You can subscribe on Spotify and Apple to be notified when we release new episodes every other Tuesday. If you enjoyed this week's episode, we'd love it if you left us a review. If you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, contact us on social media. You can reach Rose at @TRoseWild and Cassie at @IBakeMistakes or email us at kitchentapepod@gmail.com. Catch you next time on Kitchen Tape Podcast.